श्री श्री राधा कालचंद जी की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय। श्री श्री गौ नेताय की जय। संतराज श्रीमन भागवत की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भक्तले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी निर्विशेष भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवन कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर हिरण्यकशिपु'स प्लान टू बिकम इमॉर्टल 23 सा
तत्चक
वल्मीका
सह
ओजो बलान्वितः सर्वावयव संपन्नो वज्र संहननो
युवा
उत्थितस्तप्त हेमाभो कीचक वर्णिका सहोजो बलान्विता सर्वावयव संपन्नो वज्र संहननो उत्थितस्तप्त हिमाभो सदत्कीचक वर्णिका सह ओजो बलान्विता सर्वावयव संपन्नो वज्र संहननो उत्थितस्तप्त हेमाभो कीचक
वल्मीका
सह ओजो
बलान्विता
सर्वावयव संपन्नो वज्र संहननो युवा उत्थितस्तप्त हेमाभो विभावसूरिवैधसः Hiranyakashipu.
Tat.
That.
That.
Kichaka Valmika.
Kichaka Valmika.
From the anthill and bamboo grove. Saha.
Saha.
Mental strength.
Ojaha.
Strength of the senses.
Strength of the senses.
Vala.
Vala.
And sufficient bodily strength.
And sufficient bodily strength.
Annitaha.
Annitaha.
Endowed with.
Endowed with.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
Avayava.
Avayava.
The limbs of the body.
The limbs of the body.
Sampanya.
Sampanya.
Fully restored.
Fully restored.
Vajra Samhanana.
Vajra Samhanana.
Having a body as strong as thunderbolt.
Having a body as strong as thunderbolt.
Yuva.
Yuva.
Yam.
Yam.
Uttitaha.
Uttitaha.
Arisen.
Arisen.
Tapta Hemaha.
Tapta Hemaha.
Whose bodily luster
became like molten gold.
Vibhavashu.
Vibhavashu.
Fire.
Fire.
Eva.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Edhasaha.
Edhasaha.
From the fuel wood. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As soon as he was sprinkled with the water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt. With physical strength and bodily luster resembling to molten gold, he emerged from the anthill, a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Please repeat after me. As soon as he was sprinkled with the water, from Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body,
with limbs so strong
that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt. With physical strength and bodily luster, resembling to molten gold, he emerged from the anthill, a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu was revitalized so much so that his body was quite competent to tolerate the striking of thunderbolts. He was now a young man with strong body and a very beautiful bodily luster resembling molten gold. This is the rejuvenation that took place because of his severe austerity and penance. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namaste, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Bancha Kalpataru Bhascha कृपा सिंधु भय वच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशरी गौर वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम राम। सतत कीचक बलमिकात सह ओजो बलान्वितः सर्वावयव संपन्नो वज्र संह नमो युवा उत्थित स्तप्त भीमावहो विभावशो विवैधसः। As soon as he was sprinkled with the water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt. With physical strength and a bodily luster resembling molten gold, he emerged from the anthill a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. So Hiranyakashipu performed severe austerities in order to become immortal. And he wanted to become immortal because he wanted to take revenge of his brother's death by Hari. In next verse we will see that Hiranyakashipu was quite a respectful person. He was quite a humble person in some sense, because as soon as he saw Lord Brahma, he offered obeisances. Actually, that is the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture teaches one to cultivate respect for superiors. Vedic culture teaches one to be humble, irrespective of whether one is a demon or a devotee. We see, although Hiranyakashipu is a demon, but because he was educated with Vedic culture, he was brought up with the Vedic culture, this element of respect, the culture of respect was there in him. Now, just having respect for superiors is not enough. The ultimate consideration is to have respect for the supreme author. And that is what that's the difference between the demons and the demigods. The demigods or the divine personalities, they accept the authority of the supreme personality of God. Whereas the demons don't. They become inimical towards the supreme personality of God. And because of their animosity towards the Lord, they are considered to be demons. Like we see here, we are seeing Hiranyakashipu was so respectful towards Brahma. From an apparent perspective, he is a nice person, he is respectful towards Brahma. But why he is a demon? Because he is opposed to the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, Hari. He developed his inherent animosity towards Hari. His consideration was, why this person killed my brother? So I must take revenge. This person is my enemy because he killed my brother. There are many other examples that way we find that Ravan was a worshipper of Lord Shiva. he was very submissive to Devi Durga. But he is a demon because he became an inimical towards the Supreme Personality. And Shishupal and Dantavakra, they are given, they were worshippers of Narayana. Shishupal and Dantavakra, they were worshippers of Narayana. They accepted Narayana, but they wouldn't accept Krishna. Therefore, they are demons. And when the personality of Narayana was standing in front of them, they were enemies. So that is the difficulty with the demons. Otherwise, some of these demons are very, very admirable personalities. Like, they are, in some ways, they're quite admirable. Like Hiranyakashipu, we have seen, he was so, he could perform such severe austerity. But just performing austerity is not enough. The consideration is with what objective one is performing that austerity. If one performs austerity in order to become God's competitor, then what's the point in performing that austerity? And that's what exactly Hiranyakashipu did. He performed austerity to become a competitor of Krishna. He performed austerity to become so strong that he would be able to defeat or even kill the Supreme Personality. And even when his son, Prahlad, spoke to him about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his greatness and glory, still he would listen to him. He developed his very strong animosity. So much so that when his son started to glorify Hari, Krishna, he decided to kill his son. Because he considered that his son was a traitor. His son is siding with his enemy. So a traitor has to be killed. Therefore, in the Vedas, we find two sides, two aspects. One is the aspect of goodness, and the other is the aspect of absolute goodness. Ultimately, these are the two considerations. The goodness. Goodness can become a material. Goodness is a material consideration. But the absolute goodness is a spiritual consideration. One may be good from a materialistic point of view, but if he is not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all his efforts, all his qualities are a simple a waste of time, are not to be considered at all, not to be taken into consideration at all. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes that point that yashasti bhakti bhagavat akinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate shura harava bhaktasya uto mahad guna manorathenasi dhavato. Yashasti bhakti bhagavat akinchana, one who has developed his unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. In his personality, all the divine qualities become manifest. All divine qualities become manifest. Whereas, harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna. But one who is not a devotee of Hari, he cannot possibly have any good quality. Even though he may be endowed with apparently wonderful qualities, Mahatguna, but it's a simply not to be taken into consideration at all. They don't have any objective, they don't have any significance. Because those qualities are not properly utilized. If certain things are not properly utilized, then it is a waste. So similarly, one who hasn't become a devotee of Krishna, even though he may have many, many good qualities, is just a waste. Therefore, ultimately, the Vedic scripture, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, is establishing the point that become a devotee of Krishna. That's the only consideration. Nothing else is important. There is no need to separately cultivate different qualities. There is no need to enrich yourself, endowing yourself with different good qualities. Just become a devotee of Krishna. Then all good qualities will automatically become manifest in you. On the other hand, if you may have many good qualities, but if you don't become a devotee of Krishna, those qualities are of no consequence whatsoever. This is a simple conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means it's a simple conclusion of the entire Vedas. And ultimately, it has been demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means just use everything in the service of Krishna. Use everything in glorifying Krishna. And if you do that, then they will be perfectly utilized. Their application then is perfect. Whatever you have, just use it in Krishna's service. Whatever qualities you have, just use it in Krishna's service. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just engage everything in this. Engage yourself and engage everything that is with you in the service of Krishna, in glorifying Krishna. Then your life and your endeavors will achieve the perfection. Actually, the Sankirtan movement is a wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The wonderful aspect of Sankirtan movement is that we don't have to change our situation. And sthanis kitva shruti gatan tanumai mamud. Wherever we are situated, we can be situated there. But we can render service to Krishna in glorifying his activities and glorifying his holy name. Very simple business. We don't have to go to the forest, we don't have to go to the mountain caves, we don't have to go to India yet. We can stay wherever we are. We don't even have to change our situation. If we are running our business, or if we are engaged in a job, or if we are engaged in a household, taking care of a household, if we are a student, if we are a retired person, doesn't matter, wherever we are, we can simply be engaged in serving the Supreme Personality. And we don't even have to get something that we do not have in order to be engaged in Sankirtan. Whatever we have, with that only we can render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever we have, whatever resources we have, we can just engage in the service of Krishna. If we have nothing, at least we have our tongue and we can vibrate the holy name. That's how easy the Sankirtan movement is. No need to change our situation, no need to make any external endeavor. Very, very easily we can render the service. And what is the difference between Sankirtan that Mahaprabhu gave in relation to the way the process that has been generally prescribed in the Vedas. Generally, the process that has been prescribed in the Vedas is that we have to withdraw our senses from matter and project it onto Krishna. That is the process of Ashtanga Yoga or meditation. The senses are running through the body, through the senses, to the objects of the senses. That's our material condition. Our materialistic way of life or our materialistic condition in this material nature is that our senses are projected through the, our consciousness is projected through our senses to the objects of the senses. Dhayate Vishayan Pumsha. Our senses are running towards the Vishaya, the objects of the senses. Now, generally, the purpose or the objective here is to withdraw the senses. Ashtanga Yoga, the fifth stage of this Eightfold Yoga system, is called, the fifth stage is called Pratyahara, withdrawing the senses from the objects of the senses. And then comes Dhyan, or projection, or meditation. Meditation means projecting the senses onto the Supreme Personality or Godhead who is situated in the heart. He's in our heart, he's also in the spiritual sky. So when we project our consciousness onto him in our heart, it is actually projected away from the material nature and onto the spiritual reality. But the process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, the Sankirtana, that does not require that. That is, our senses, our consciousness is being projected through the senses to the objects of the senses. Now the Sankirtan movement is that applying those objects of the senses in glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. We don't have to withdraw our senses from the objects of the senses. Let it flow naturally, the waves flow towards the objects of the senses. But apply those objects in the service of the Supreme Personality. And by doing that, those objects become spiritualized. By doing that, our activities become spiritualized. And in this way, the Sankirtan movement is actually a process of spiritualizing material nature. The apparently material objects are spiritualized. So that is the wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya. And it's such an easy process. Whatever is there, we can simply use it in Krishna's service, and by doing that, it is spiritualized. Prabhupada gave the example, this microphone, apparently material object, it's a material object. But when it is used in singing the glory of Krishna, spreading the glory of Krishna, is it material or spiritual? It's spiritual. We have computers. I think every devotee has a computer. An apparently material, very gross material object. But when it is used in Krishna's service, is this a material computer or a spiritual computer? The computer is spiritual. Our vehicles are spiritual. A printing press, by printing the books of Srila Prabhupada, is spiritual. Papers are spiritualized by being used in printing Srila Prabhupada's books. Money is spiritualized, which is collected from distributing the books or when the Lakshmi, then it is not money, it's Lakshmi. Spiritual. So in this way, Mahaprabhu has brought the most wonderful benediction to this age of Kali, to the most fallen living entities in this age. to spiritualize everything through their very simple activities. But what makes that all the difference? What makes the difference is the application. What makes the difference is consciousness. It's applied in the service of Krishna. And in this way, we are becoming Krishna conscious. We do not have to sit down in meditation and fix our focus, our mind onto Krishna. If we can do that, it's very good, but it's not easy in this age. Our mind is so scattered. Our brain is so weak. So we don't really have that ability to focus the mind onto one object and let it not deviate from that object. It needs a very strong personality with a very strong will. Now we do not actually have that kind of strength in this age. Therefore, a very simple process has been given. Wherever we are, it doesn't matter whether we are a full-time devotee in the temple or whether we are householders at home. It doesn't matter whether we are full-time devotees or congregation devotees. It doesn't matter whether we are old or young. It doesn't matter whether we are men or women. Everyone has that ability to become engaged in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the most wonderful way. Sometimes when the lady devotees get children, they lament, they repent, and they say that, well, because I have this child, I don't have any time to become engaged in devotional service. My sadhana has become so slack. But I reassure them that, no, don't worry about it. Consider that your son is, your child is meant to be engaged in Krishna service. So consider that your child is a gift from Krishna, and now your responsibility is to bring him up or her up to become a devotee. So by doing that, while you are taking care of your child, you are actually engaged in devotional service. So it's a matter of consciousness. If we can directly or indirectly become conscious of Krishna, our objective will be achieved. We will achieve our spiritual perfection. On the other hand, if we do not become engaged in serving Krishna, no matter how powerful we are, it is simply a waste of time. Like here we are seeing Hiranyakashipu. After performing such severe austerities, what did he gain? Apparently he gained something very wonderful. He got a body. It was so strong that even thunderbolt couldn't do anything to that body. A thunderbolt, if he was struck by a thunderbolt, he would feel as if he had somebody threw a flower at him. That is how strong his body was. And it has been described that it's a sarva avayava anita yuva. His whole body, all his limbs were youthful. And he emerged like a blazing fire. From that anthill, he emerged like a blazing fire, as if a flame from a burning piece of wood. So we can see how handsome he must have been. His body was glowing. He was youthful. All his limbs were perfectly shaped and so strong that even thunderbolt couldn't do anything. So apparently it was a wonderful achievement. And then afterwards we'll see what he achieved. He became practically immortal because of his austerity. But just one defect in him ruined him completely. That he became inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, look at how do people look at him today?
I mean, Hiranyakashipu, just the name gives you the impression of the most ugly person, the most despicable person, the most abominable person, isn't it? But from this description, he appears to be such a handsome, powerful personality. But ultimately, we don't just consider the external bodily feature. Ultimate consideration is the internal state of consciousness. If the internal state of consciousness is imperfect, then the external bodily consideration is of no consequences at all. On the other hand, somebody may not be that attractive, may not be handsome, or maybe quite ugly to look at. But if he is a devotee of the Lord, then the whole world will worship him. Whole world will worship him. And the whole world, and not only those who are seeing him, even in posterity, in future, people will consider him to be the most beautiful person. So where does our real beauty lie? The real beauty actually lies in our attachment to Krishna. And it is not only a kind of a conceptual thing, or it not only just some sort of mental projection of thinking about somebody in that way. No, the personality looks, that person looks like that. He looks the most attractive person. He appears to be the most beautiful person. And of course it carries our mental imagery, mental images like how many of you read Mahabharata? Please raise your hands. Okay. When in Mahabharata, when you see Karna, how do you see him? Does he appear to be a very handsome person in your mind? On the other hand, when you think of Arjuna, how do you see him? The epitome of all beauty, isn't it? Actually, Karna, can you imagine, he's a son of sun god and Kunti. So how beautiful he must have been. He's a very handsome person. In some way he may be even more handsome than Arjuna. But in our mind we carry the image of Karna as an ugly person. So this is how the impressions appear in our consciousness, not in mind, but in our consciousness. So, yes, everybody wants to be beautiful. So how to become beautiful? By becoming a devotee. Nobody wants to become ugly. How to prevent from becoming ugly? Don't become demoniac. So if we don't become demoniac, but become a devotee, we'll become the most beautiful creatures in this creation. The physical beauty is only temporary. The person who is very beautiful today, tomorrow that person may become very ugly. It happens. I know somebody who was a very famous movie star about 30, 40 years back. But when she became old, because she lost her physical beauty, she stopped meeting people. She doesn't meet anybody. She just locked herself up in her room, never comes out. Because she is embarrassed, she is ashamed to present herself in that way. She wanted to maintain that beautiful young woman that she had been in her youth. But material nature is different. In some way, material nature is very cruel. Takes away everything from us. Takes away our youth, takes away our beauty, takes away our vitality. And finally takes away everything from us. Our body, our possessions, our relations, everything is taken away from us. Now we have to learn to deal with that reality of the material nature. Now how do we deal with that? The best way to deal with that is by spiritualizing ourselves. Let us not dwell in our bodies. Let us dwell in our spiritual identity. Let us situate ourselves in our spiritual identity. And is it difficult? No. It's very easy. Just become submissive to Krishna. Just become surrendered to Krishna. Become his humble servant. And it will be achieved. It's as simple as that. The moment we surrender to Krishna, we are spiritualized. The moment we sincerely pray to Krishna, Krishna, please allow me to serve you. Please, Krishna, allow me to surrender myself to you. Please, Krishna, allow me to love you. This simple prayer will immediately situate us in our spiritual identity. And Prabhupada said, from then onwards, we don't have to worry about ourselves. It's Krishna's responsibility. The moment we surrender ourselves to Krishna, then Krishna says, okay, fine. From now on, I'll be responsible for you. But that surrender has to be sincere. So that is how simple Krishna consciousness is. And that is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for us, the degraded living entities in this age of Kali, who are completely submerged in an ocean of sinful activities. But we have such a wonderful hope. And this hope will take us to the topmost region of the spiritual sky. And we should not have any doubt about that. And the most wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he sent Srila Prabhupada to this world. And the most wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada is the institution that he has given us, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a spiritual family, a spiritual home, a spiritual shelter, and a spiritual institution for all of us, where we can cultivate our Krishna consciousness, where you can be indoctrinated with our Krishna consciousness, cultivate our Krishna consciousness, maintain our Krishna consciousness, and protect our Krishna consciousness. If we think about it deeply, then we will see if Srila Prabhupada didn't give us this ISKCON, our spiritual life would have been in a great turmoil today. But because of this wonderful institution that Srila Prabhupada gave, our spiritual life is so wonderfully protected. And this institution will continue to expand Srila Prabhupada's mission. And eventually it is through this institution of ISKCON that Krishna consciousness will be established in every town and village all over the world. Mahaprabhu's words are not going to go in vain. When Mahaprabhu said so emphatically, every town and village in this planet, in this earth planet. Prithivite ache jato nagoradi gram. When Mahaprabhu had been so emphatic about that point, every town and village, it's going to happen in every town and village. To us it may appear to be impossible, but for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is impossible. It will happen. And that's why he sent Srila Prabhupada, and that's why Srila Prabhupada created this institution. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic about the integrity of that institution, the welfare of that institution. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic about his position in the institution as the founder acharya. Because for the successful integration of this institution, Prabhupada's position is of absolute importance. And for the maintenance of this institution, Prabhupada suggested that we collectively serve his mission. Prabhupada so emphatically pointed out, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. This cooperation is absolutely essential for the successful expansion of this mission through this institution. Now let us all try to become engaged in Srila Prabhupada's wonderful mission. And if we do become a perfect instrument in his hands, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will use us in fulfilling his mission. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Narottam Prabhu. I have a comment. I'm very happy to see you. When I came, I asked, where is Narottam Prabhu? And they told me that you were in India. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask this question. When we're working with people of other religious faiths, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus even, we find that they're sincere. They're working very hard, they're working collectively, and many times they're very sensitive and very educated also, PhDs and so on and so forth. And now also, at a deeper study, we may say, well, they need, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, you see. At the same time, when we look at ourselves, we may say, well, devotees are doing this, devotees are doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So it seems as people in religious practice, we're pretty much the same. We have sincerity, we have achievers, we have educated people and other traditions. So how are we to encourage or integrate our teachings and be able to work collectively? Because here we're saying Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya. Others are saying, no, Jesus Christ. This, you see. So I find sometimes there's a difficulty in developing a meaningful relationship with people of other traditions, and at the same time not offending them and trying to work together. I'm a little confused at sometimes. I wanted to ask your insight.
Well, in the ultimate issue, there's only one religion, right? So we have to see the similarity instead of differences when we are dealing with other religions. At least we should try to do that for the sake of successful propagation of the mission. say, when Jesus came and spoke about God the Father, and if he is the Supreme God the Father, how many God the Fathers are there? There's only one Supreme Father. Well, there's only one Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Muhammad is speaking about Allah, the Supreme One, then who is that? The only thing is, the concept of that Supreme hasn't been so clearly established in their religions, in their teachings. That is what is causing the problem. Jesus clearly said that, I have much more to say, but you are not ready for that. Muhammad, because the kind of people that he was dealing with, just consider, you know, like what kind of people he was dealing with in the middle of Arabian desert 1,000 years ago. What kind of people were they? Do you think they're the intellectual Harvard graduates from United States of America? No. They were kind of semi-animalistic barbarians. So how much could he tell them about God? So he just said that, you know, just surrender unto that one who is the Supreme. So the problem is actually the lack of informations about the Supreme. The acceptance of the Supreme is there, but because the clear indications of the Supreme was not there, that's why there is this disparity and differences. Now, how to overcome those differences, I don't know how to do that, but at least we have to stick to our own understanding with the implicit faith that this is the Supreme understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are open. If you have any more information about God, please come and give it to us. I'll accept it. And one interesting thing I must remind you here is that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to this planet in India, in Bengal, at a time when whole of India was under Muslim domination. Why Mahaprabhu appeared at a time like that, when, you know, the followers of the Vedic cultures were brutally persecuted? Why did he appear at a time like that? To me, at least, it's a mystery. But I'm sure in due course of time that mystery will unfold. And then the other thing is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute the holy name. And he made Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, the Acharya of that holy name. So why? That mystery again will unfold in due course of time in future. But we can see that Mahaprabhu was, you know, undaunted, like in the face of all kinds of difficulties. When Kaji tried to stop the Sankirtan movement, Mahaprabhu's response was, who dares to stop Krishna Sankirtan, the chanting of the glory of the Lord? Let's go and see who has that power to stop me. So that should be our spirit. We are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are not going to be dissuaded by any opposition, no matter how colossal it may appear to be. And let us see what Mahaprabhu wants. And another problem is that today, unfortunately, which is again natural for the age of Kali, all kinds of nonsense activities are going on in the name of religion. That is the unfortunate thing. They're claiming that this is their religion, but it's not their religion. What they're practicing is not their religion. like what is going on in the name of Islam, will any sane man approve of it? Nobody will approve of it. Because how can it be accepted that in the name of religion you can kill innocent women and children? So that's not religion. But that's what is happening. That has become their religion. Our enemy doesn't matter whether women or children, because they're the offsprings of our enemy, they should be killed. Is this human? No. So let us see, at least we found the right path, and let's stick to that path. Hare Krishna. Yes.
I just have a question. It depicts the beauty of the genius of the soul. If it says being a Buddha disciple, or someone in the same area as one spiritual master. So if a genius really is not being understood, so is it correct to discuss with the superior, or is the disciple for the superior is representative of the superior person of God, so it will be sorted out by the superior?
I couldn't get the last point, right?
Should the disciple think that the superior is representative of the Supreme Person of Godhead, so in course of time the Lord will sort out the problem?
I mean, if the Guru has some difficulty.
If the disciple is feeling that there is some misunderstanding of the superior, so the superior must ask someone to be equal.
I see.
So, should the disciples speak about it, or should we just think that the Supreme Lord will sort it out?
I don't know. I repeat the question, because people on the internet would not have heard the question.
Oh, so what to do?
What if you just repeat it yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so okay, let me see if I got it right. You are saying that if a disciple has some difficulty with his spiritual master, should he just depend upon Krishna or try to sort it out by some other means? It will depend upon the advancement of the disciple, the consciousness of the disciple. If the disciple is truly submissive, then the disciple will leave it up to Krishna. And he or she will maintain a submissive attitude. That I have accepted my spiritual master, and as long as he is in good standing, as long as he is representing Krishna, as long as he is serving Krishna, as long as he is a good devotee, let me remain submissive to him, even though our relationship may have been strained in some way. I don't understand, but my business is to remain submissive. So that will be the ideal situation provided the disciple is very, very submissive. But if he or she is not that submissive, then, yes, he can take the help of other devotees to sort out, to help the develop the relationship or sort out the relationship. And personally, I will say that since we have, a family, ISKCON family, with so many relationships, and if there is some difficulty with the spiritual master, then the disciple should take the help of other senior members of the family to sort out the difficulty. Like in a family, if the child has some problem with the father, if the son has a problem with the father, then he goes to the uncles, and the uncles, sort of mediate and sort it out. So that is one wonderful advantage we have in ISKCON. We have so many other relationships, and those relationships do help us. And also, in this age of Kali, our situation is not really very, very advanced, at least in most cases. So to artificially try to maintain a submissive attitude may not work, because it's artificial, it's not natural. And not only with the spiritual master, if there's any difficulty in any relationship, we should try to immediately patch it up. And if we have to take the help of others, let's take the help of others. Does it answer your question? Yeah, you see, the formality of relationships are there. The standard is there, the etiquette is there. But ultimately, it is a matter of relationship, like in a family. Those etiquettes do not become so important. Right? Say, for example, it is advised that the junior should offer respect to the senior as soon as he sees him. He should offer obeisances. Right? But in a family, you don't offer obeisances to your father every day. Right? But the father doesn't mind that. It's because of the relationship, that relationship, the depth of the relationship, the intensity of the relationship actually obviates all these needs of etiquettes. There is a matter of relationship, love. And there is no such formality. So the ultimate consideration is actually beyond these formalities, but develop a loving relationship with other devotees in our movement. Why I'm saying it is because I have seen sometimes in the past some leaders were very rigid that, well, he didn't offer me obeisances, right? And he chastised. And some individuals have held those chastisement very deep down in their hearts. And after many, many years, they haven't forgotten that I was just a young lad. Why I had to be subjected to that? So we don't actually have to be so rigid in our dealings and attitude. When you develop that loving in relationship, then everything is accepted. And see what love, how love makes a difference. A very beautiful example about that is the baby on the mother's lap kicks her on the chest. Does the mother take any offense? No. On the other hand, the mother's heart becomes filled with love getting those kicks from her baby. Isn't it? So that is what love is. And about your previous question, I just also wanted to add that I have seen from my practical experience that there had been instances when some devotees had some difficulty with his spiritual master and came and spoke to me. Then I spoke to his spiritual master and everything been so easily sorted out, like this kind of mediation sometimes, because, you know, maybe the spiritual master was heavy with the disciple, and the disciple also felt, you know, was harboring some very, very strong feelings. But, you know, like when somebody mediates, then, you know, like it becomes so easy to sort out. Therefore, whenever there is a need, we must take help. And that is the advantage of being in a family. That's the advantage of being in ISKCON. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Mr. Chaitanya.
I just had a question about the history of this time in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And like Hiranyakashipu was a king, but he also had many ministers. Weren't they aware of the Vedas that described Lord Rama's origin, that he came from Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and that he was, inferior to Lord Vishnu?
You see, there are two types of ministers or advisors, right? The demons stick to one kind of advices, and demigods stick to the other. The demigod's advisor or guru is Brihaspati, whereas the demon's advisor or guru is Shukracharya. It's not that he doesn't know Hari. He knows, but because his business is to promote his disciples' sense gratification, he advises them to go against Hari. Like when Bali Maharaj was prepared to offer everything to Bhamandev, Shukracharya told him that, look, this is Hari. He has come to take everything away from you. Because he's a demoniac, the guru of the demons. He is not demoniac as such, Shukracharya. But because he's the demon of the guru of the demons, you know, he gives certain set of advice to his disciples. But the disciple, in his right senses, should take the right advice and stick to the lotus feet of Hari. Does it answer your question, Mother Sucharya?
I was just curious how they would not want to know Lord Rama's history, where he came from. And they were just like, they were blind followers of their guru, basically. They weren't very smart because they didn't try to understand who the person they were worshipping really was.
Yeah. As I said, like, they may know, but they do not apply. They don't act with that understanding. Like, I'll give a simple example. So many devotees served in ISKCON for so many years, read Prabhupada's books, got all the information. And still, why did they leave the movement and went back to the materialistic way of life? That means those informations did not sink deep down. They did not accept those instructions wholeheartedly. They considered enjoying material nature is more important than being surrendered to Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.